back to Luke 24, because we've been studying about what our brother Luke wrote in both Luke, and we'll get to what he wrote in the book of Acts a little bit, maybe a lot of bit. But the thing is, John, the Apostle John, in the last verse of John, he writes how that if the books were to be written about what Jesus had done, the world couldn't contain all of them. So your assignment, if you wish to accept it, is to write a book on what the Lord's done in your life. It took John about 55 to 60 years before he could put down in pen and ink, or however he wrote it, what's in the book we call the Gospel According to John. Wow. Now, what were you doing 55 years ago? I know what I was doing 58 years ago. It was my first Sunday playing the piano here in church. So, you know, you go back, that's how far we got to go back. And what has the Lord done for us, even in the last, since we got up this morning, you know? Yeah, that's a book right there. Yeah. Okay, so have you had a chance to get over to Luke 24? In this portion that we're going to read, verses 44 through 48, Jesus is, we'll read through 49. Jesus is making his fifth appearance on the day of his resurrection, and he's in the room with the disciples. The two Emmaus disciples are in there. Several others are there. It's the fifth group he's appeared into. Of course, we know that he appeared earlier in the day to Peter. He also appeared to the two Emmaus disciples, so they're getting a double portion on this day of what he had to say. Most of these words in verses 44 through 49 of Luke 24 are red letter words, and Jesus is speaking, in other words. And he said unto them, after he finally got their attention and got them calmed down, that it was truly him that was in the room with them. You know, we talked about this before. They were still mourning his death, and there he is in the midst of them. Because they never really paid attention what he had to say when he said he would had to suffer and die and be raised again the third day. You know, it was like talking to that wall over there to him, it seems like. And so it says there in Luke 24:44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. In other words, you got a whole Old Testament there of things about me. Jesus is the Word of God, Revelation 19:13 tells us, and so all that was written in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms was about Jesus. Verse 45, we'll discuss this a little further in more detail later. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And he saith to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And pay attention, kids, pay attention, disciples, ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. He was talking about what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost about 50 days later. Okay, now let's go back into verse 44. And the second part of that verse says that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. The things that were written in the about Jesus in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms was also the word of the Lord, which, again, as we just mentioned in Revelation 19:13, is another name for Jesus, the Word of God. That's what it's called, he's called there. There are over 250 references to the Word of the Lord in Scripture. And in studying the Word of the Lord, you will find that personally, the Word of the Lord, who is Jesus, spoke to Abraham, to Moses, to Joshua, to Samuel, to Gideon, and all of the prophets, just to mention a few of whom the Lord spoken to. And on the night of his resurrection, Jesus, the Word of God, appeared to those gathered in that room and reminded them that he was indeed the Lord, the very same Lord who spoke the word of the Lord to them for 3+ years. A little over three years. Had his disciples with him. And we'll talk about that some more. So Jesus said in Luke 24:44, these are the words which I, the word of the Lord, spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of the Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Now, the two Emmaus disciples that were also in the room that night, here they got a double portion, for earlier in the day Jesus had told him the following in verse 26 of Luke 24, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He expounded it to them. He didn't read it to them. He told them what it was said. They knew what it said. You remember in a Jewish synagogue service in the course of a year, they go through the whole Old Testament. Plus, they sing the Psalms every week. Okay? Now, I had a inquiry for a list of the scriptures that Jesus made reference to here, the Old Testament scriptures. And that would be too many scriptures for us to just sit here and read. We'll let Scott do that sometime. No, I'm just teasing. So I made a list. And I'll give you one, but not right now. You have to see me after church, okay? If you want it. It'll also be in my notes for those of you who want it, but the list goes from Genesis through Malachi and covers a lot of scriptures, and then it covers the Psalms, so specifically narrowing it down to things that were said about Jesus. So there's another important phrase that Jesus made to those in the room that evening of his resurrection, and it is said, of what is said there in Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And there's three important words here: opened, understanding, and understand. And these words are all interrelated. They're all connected. This is actually the third time in Luke 24 where we find the word opened, with verses 31 and 32 being the other two times where the word opened is found. And we mentioned this when we were discussing this, how that the Greek word translated open in these three scriptures is dianago. It's number 1272 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it's only used 8 times in New Testament scripture, and 8 is a number, again, that points to resurrection. And dianago means to open up completely, to open up a channel to cause the understanding of a thing. It is used of the eyes and ears being opened. It is also used of the mind of one being opened as to the proper understanding of a thing. Some things we don't understand unless it's properly explained to us, okay? So the key thought presented here that also unlocks our learning revolves around the words understand and understanding. And so Jesus here opened their eyes and their ears in order for them to have the proper understanding of what he was telling them. He'd already told them this, but they didn't understand it. So he's helping them out here. And we learn from both Luke 24, verse 25, and also if you look in the depths of Luke 24, 44, that their understanding here was restrained because they were slow of heart to believe the scriptures. Now, I want to break this down and cut to the chase and get to the point that we need to see here as it pertains to us, the potential New Testament full overcomers of this church age, those who wish to be in the bride of Christ. What kind of understanding do we need to have in order to be in the bride of Christ? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What kind of understanding do I need to have to be in the bride of Christ? Well, the answer is we need his understanding in order to perceive things as he does. Christ's bride will be his equal in understanding, is another way of saying this. Is that true or is that not true? She's going to be his equivalent, right? So then obviously the bride of Christ will have the eyes of her understanding enlightened by the power of the Holy Ghost in order to see things like he does. And we'll talk about that scripture in Ephesians 1:18 in a moment. That's one of the prayers of Paul, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. The bride of Christ will have hearing ears of faith to become the New Testament full overcomer worthy of faith that achieves the honor of being the bride of Christ. In this very same class years ago, before all my hair turned almost white, we did a series of lessons on the hearing hearts of faith. Kind of get our wrap our mind around that concept. And the emphasis on that study was on hearing, as the Apostle Paul wrote it in Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17, I know you all know this one. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What a powerful verse of scripture that emphasizes the importance of hearing the word of God, specifically hearing with receptive hearts of faith and believing the precepts that we can only see with open eyes of faith. I mentioned oxygen a little bit ago that we breathe. You don't see it, but you breathe it. Do you by faith breathe it or you just breathe it? I mean, you know, that's kind of how it is. Something you can't see and you know is there. Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Isn't there going to be a new heaven and a new earth someday? So why should we try to correct all the things that the man thinks is wrong with this world when it's going to be God's the one that's going to correct it? They ain't even going to be here. New heaven, new earth. That takes care of all your climate change stuff, don't it? Yeah. Okay, I'm going to ask you some questions. Have you ever seen the Red Sea parted? Well, you have with your eyes of faith, haven't you? Have you ever seen the deluge that was the flood that destroyed all but eight souls in Genesis 7? We've got evidence of it all over the world. But you didn't see it with your natural eyes, but you've seen it by faith. Have you ever seen anyone translated like Elisha did? Of course we haven't. Have you ever seen a giant slain by a youth with a slingshot? Well, by faith you have. Have you ever seen afar the heavenly city which hath foundations that Abraham saw? It takes eyes of faith to see such things. And if you're of the mindset, if I don't see it, I won't believe it, you're very low on the narrow scale of believing things, okay? Our apostle Paul, again, prayed in Ephesians 1:18 that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. How long does it take to grasp all that? It takes a while. You need the eyes of your understanding enlightened to understand such things. We're talking about understanding. So again, what we said earlier, that the bride of Christ will have her eyes of understanding enlightened by the power of the Holy Ghost in order to see things like he does. What was the purpose of sending the Holy Ghost? To enlighten our understanding, okay, for one thing. The Greek word translated understanding in Ephesians 1:18 is closely associated with that Greek word we read earlier. This is dianoe. It's number 1271 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And in this instance, as it is expressed there in Ephesians 1:18, it means to have our minds open to his way of thinking, to his way of understanding, and his way of feeling, okay? And so we're actually kind of getting a double portion of understanding here, if you go back and think about all this. So important is it that our eyes and ears of faith be 100% open and in tune with the Word of God, and the Word of God is in fact Jesus, the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he himself had said in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, he had John write this: he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And that statement is repeated 7 times to the 7 churches. And 7 is a number that points to spiritual perfection. In order to have spiritual perfection, then we have to have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith, right? This kind of understanding that we've been discussing here for a couple minutes was not the depth of understanding Jesus was trying to get his disciples to have that first night of his resurrection. If we get time, we'll get to a scripture. Where about 5 nights earlier, when at the Last Supper, Jesus called his disciples and started addressing them and called them little children. Why? They were grown men. But their understanding was that of little children. And it still was here on this night when he appeared to them, the night of his resurrection. They might have went backwards since then a little bit in their understanding. And it says there in Luke 24:45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And then once he did, it's like, oh yeah, right, I remember that. Oh yeah, that makes sense. Oh, I see that. That's the having your eyes enlightened, right? Your spiritual eyes enlightened. So Jesus had to open their understanding here simply because at this point in time, the Holy Ghost was not yet sent, nor were they yet endued with his power from on high to understand the scriptures in the depths that they would later consistently enjoy after being filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. How did Peter get so smart on that day of Pentecost when he preached that sermon where he's quoting all those Old Testament scriptures? They can remember nothing, Jesus had said. Now he's quoting a thing like, you know, he wrote it. That was the Holy Ghost, right? The word understanding used here in Luke 24:45 is nous, number 3563 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it has to do mainly with the mind perceiving divine things in the capacity of receiving spiritual truth. So Jesus was the one who opened their understanding so that they might understand the scriptures in a depth that was before hidden unto them. And specifically, what he was talking to them about was concerning his suffering upon the cross and his rising from the dead on the third day. As of yet, they knew not the scripture. Really? You know, it's what John wrote. John wrote that after thinking about it for 55 years. We didn't know the scripture. Yeah, we were little children. The Greek word translated understand here, and there's two words, understanding and understand. The Greek word for understand here is tsunami. That's the way I would say it. And boy, once he opens your understanding, it would be like a tsunami, wouldn't it? Coming in and flooding your mind with this. That's number 4920 in the Strong's Greek Concordance. And it is used metaphorically of perceiving, that is to put, as it were, the proper perception with the thing perceived. And in this particular case, it was for the purpose of Christ revealing the scriptures concerning his death and resurrection that day, before this day was innocent, before this time was hidden from them. They didn't know the scriptures, as we talked about. You read that in John. Prior to this time, they didn't have a proper understanding of the events that were happening right before their very eyes. They didn't have a proper understanding of what had happened in the last 3 days. They didn't understand all that that was taking place. So we could say it this way, simply put, Jesus here dispelled their wonderment and their unbelief. Yes, it is him. Yes, it is me, Christ. You know, here's my nail-scarred hands. And it's me. I'm risen from the dead. I told you that. The scripture tells you that. These are the scriptures. And they went, oh, yeah, I can see it now, right? That's how he opened their understanding. Okay, Luke 24:46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. There's a lot here. So what was Jesus telling his disciples here on the night of his resurrection? Jesus was telling them what it was they were to preach and teach once they were properly equipped with the power of the Holy Ghost to do so. The word repentance is found 26 times in Scripture. It's interesting all these times we mentioned numbers, how that, you know, you couldn't make this stuff up. You couldn't try to design it that way. It's the Word of God. And you look up the number of repentance found 26 times, and 26 is a number pointing to the gospel or the good news of the gospel. And the word remission is found 10 times in Scripture. 10 is the number of responsibility according to ability. So it would be the responsibility of those whom Jesus chose as his disciples to be fishers of men, to preach the good news, message of repentance and remission of sins in Jesus' name, beginning at Jerusalem, as we just read about there in verse 47. Okay, let's think about Peter for a moment, because he turns out to be prominent of the apostles, kingdom apostles, Jesus' disciples. In his first sermon on the day of Pentecost, I'm going to make a correction here. In Acts 2:38, if you want to turn there. Peter said unto them, he was bold in his preaching with the power of the Holy Ghost now upon him. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then if you want to go to Acts 10 for a minute, that was years down the road. Peter reluctantly had to be convinced by the Lord to go to the Gentile house of Cornelius, and he preached his one and only recorded sermon to the Gentiles, and he said this unto them concerning Christ Jesus in Acts 10:43, to him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Now, how did Peter learn this? Well, he had to read the Old Testament scriptures, especially after the Holy Ghost opened his eyes to this, and Jesus was the one that began to open their understanding to this on the night of his resurrection. And as you study this sermon in Acts 10, you will notice that these were Peter's last words before the Holy Ghost fell on all them Gentiles there that heard the word of God being preached in the house of Cornelius. And they spake in other tongues and magnified God, much to the astonishment of both Peter and those Jews who were with him. And then one more thing about repentance. Let's go to 2 Peter 3:9. This is one of his last, the last chapter of the words that Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I think we can safely say that Peter did preach repentance and remission of sins to everybody that he came in contact with once he got filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, in Luke 24:48, we're going to spend much time here, and we're not going to spend much time today because we're about out of time, but it says, and ye are witnesses of these things. What's the key word in that verse? Witnesses. Okay. This term, witnesses, was a concept they did not yet fully understand. It would take the power of the Holy Ghost for Jesus' yet fearful disciples to become the proper witnesses of these things concerning Jesus Christ, which they had witnessed now for over 3 years. This fifth appearance of Jesus on the first day of the week unto his disciples was made on the day of his resurrection, was made so he could further encourage them on how to become the fishers of men who would go out and preach the good news gospel message of repentance and remission of sins in Jesus' name, beginning at Jerusalem that we just read about in verse 47. They were witnesses of these things. And Jesus' disciples had followed him for a little more than 3 years, as we've mentioned. So in reality, what can you accomplish in a little more than 3 years? A college education. Really? Yeah? Well, if you put your, you know, they followed the master teacher for 3 years. What'd they learn? They got the equivalent of his college education. Now, I want you to think about that as you go through the week. It was now time for their finals, okay? You mean there's a test? There's a test at the end of this? Oh, yeah. You've been tested? Well, it's part of your finals, okay? One of the purposes of having final exam is to reinforce what one has learned. You never think of it that way because you want to pass the test. But it's also to reinforce what one has learned. And here on the first evening of his resurrection, Jesus was further opening their understanding of the scriptures and calling to their attention the importance of remembering what he had taught them these last 3+ years. Never before, nor since, has a college professor loved his students like Jesus loved his disciples. Jesus' disciples weren't even aware that they were to be his witnesses until 5 nights earlier on the night of the Last Supper when Jesus told them these things. And he began to explain to them this. So we'll get into that. You're going to say, really, Ty? Come on. Go to John 16 for a second. We'll jump ahead. And you'll study these things. John 15, okay? But if you're in John 16, just look up 2 verses. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter has come, the Comforter is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. There's no period there. And ye also shall bear witness? Because you have been with me from the beginning, meaning the beginning of his ministry. You're a witness because I've given you this college education, the equivalent of it. Nobody else got it. You guys got it. There's some responsibility with that. And furthermore, we'll read, you didn't choose me. I chose you. And you're just a bunch of ugly fishermen and tax collectors and that kind of thing. You know, and none of you are really brilliant, as the world would look at it. The world looked at them and they marveled at what they knew because they knew they were ignorant men. But amazing what the power of the Holy Ghost can do. So we'll get into that a little more detail next time, Lord willing.